Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR-LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Alan Hudson, and I'm your host this week for Inspire Indeed, a weekly show dedicated to discussing community issues and hearing from the people who are working to address them. Our guests on this show certainly inspire us to become even more engaged in our community, and we hope that it does the same for all of you tuning in today. Our topic today is Beautiful RVA, a unique collaboration of public and private agencies and organizations invested in improving the quality of life in Greater Richmond through public horticulture, urban greening, and beautiful placemaking initiatives. We are joined here in the studio by Randy Humphrey, Director of Education at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden, Alicia Zatkoff, Sustainability Manager for the City of Richmond, and Megan Goff, Assistant Professor of Urban Planning at VCU and the Director of the Sustainable Communities Institute. Welcome, Randy, Alicia, and Megan.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alan.
First of all, could you tell us how Beautiful RVA got started?
I'm happy to take that one. This is Randy. And Alan, I want to start by saying thank you to Inspire Indeed and WRIR and your compatriots, Elaine Summerfield and Mark Hickman. It's just a great honor to have the opportunity to talk about Beautiful RVA on this program. We really appreciate it. I'll lead off because it was about a year ago that Beautiful RVA got underway. In January of 2013, Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden, along with the Garden Club of Virginia and Capitol Trees, other wonderful placemaking organizations, hosted a visit to Richmond by Lyndon Miller, who is a renowned public garden designer, has spent virtually 30 years of her career working mostly in New York City, but she's consulted across the country on urban greening and placemaking. And she spoke here in Richmond and spent a couple of days with us. We hosted a small group discussion of mostly design professionals, but there were other people in the room who were civic leaders. There were some elected officials. Certainly there were City of Richmond representatives and other folks who were very interested in urban greening. And we talked to Lyndon, she was our guest expert in the room, about some of the opportunities here in Richmond, some recent projects that had been completed, some projects that were on the drawing board, some challenging projects that maybe needed some push and momentum behind them. And Lyndon kind of entertained our questions and gave us some wonderful perspectives on some of the similar challenges, as you can imagine, on a much bigger scale that she's had in New York City. The conversation was facilitated to a great extent by my colleague Megan Goff from VCU. And it was a very interesting experience to have this group of people assembled in the room, all very eager to hear Lyndon, but also very interested and invested in their own ways in quality of life issues, urban greening issues, generally just very committed people wanting to see positive change in the city. And as a result of that meeting, there was just an extraordinary feeling that, boy, this felt really good. This conversation was a very interesting opportunity. How can we make more of these happen? So with the garden's blessing, Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden has long had, you know, a dedication to connecting people and plants to improve the community. And I just decided the best thing we could do was immediately schedule another meeting and rally as many people as I could around that subject, which happened to be Monroe Park. Within a very short time, the guest list or the distribution list for an e-newsletter that I just named Beautiful RVA, I referred to it as a ripple recap because I was trying to direct people to the ripple effects of someone like Lyndon Miller. You know, they come to our community, they kind of plant really wonderful ideas, and the ripple effects have been pretty significant over the last 12 months. So that e-newsletter distribution list over the course of the last year has grown from something like 40 or 50 individuals to now over 200 civic leaders across the region who represent something like 50 different organizations. And the momentum has been pretty extraordinary. So that was its beginning, But I love the fact that Alicia has referred to people who are telling these stories in a positive way as virtual cheerleaders. And in many ways, Beautiful RVA feels like this virtual community of people who are very committed to beautiful placemaking. Tangible things are happening as well, which we'll get around to and discuss. But I just wanted to segue a little bit because Lewis Skinner Botanical Garden is not the only institution in the mix here. And I'd love for Megan to take a few minutes explaining how VCU is involved.
Thanks, Randy. Well, VCU got involved with Lewis Ginter and just looking to see how public gardens are participants in community development. And so from an urban planning perspective, that was very relevant and interesting. So we started meeting and talking about the Richmond region and some of our common areas of concern and areas of opportunity. And eventually, we ended up collaborating to some degree on a federal grant that was awarded to do case studies across the country, looking at how other cities and other public gardens are working through partnerships to do beautification efforts and community development efforts. And so through that partnership, we really came out of it with a lot of ideas and inspiration from other cities and more recognition for what we already have here in Richmond, the resources we have, the partnerships we have, and those partnerships that we have yet to develop. And so that was how we initially got involved, and it's just evolved from that point and has revealed itself in a lot of the things that we'll be talking about today.
And I'll just jump in to say that one of Megan's keen interests is in helping Lewis Skinner Botanical Garden figure out how it can build the capacity to do more community-based work. And that's been an interest of mine in the Gardens Education Program, just to figure out what our place is here. And what we've discovered over the last year is that by the mere effort of trying to broaden the conversation and provide some effective communication, spreading the word about, you know, all the opportunities in our community to have an impact where urban greening opportunities exist or need volunteer support, I'm finding that we have a role, the garden has a role, as the chief communicator of these good opportunities and the ways in which we can all personally invest in the community. And we also seem to have a natural role to convene groups where, you know, the garden is regarded as sort of a neutral and special place to be. So it seems like when we issue the invitation or the call to action, people seem to pay attention. So Alicia's involvement really stems from, we go back some time because we started a conversation a couple of years ago about community gardening, but I was aware, and then we had conversations over the course of the last summer about the city's sustainability plan and where embedded in that plan you find any references to beautification. We decided that this would be an opportunity to really support the city by fleshing out some details of what Alicia imagined in a community-based beautification initiative. So maybe she can talk a little bit more about her role and the city's opportunities.
Sure. Thank you, Randy. The city put together with the community over the last couple of years, we spent a year working on a community-based sustainability plan that's very broadly focused in terms of working on economic development issues, transportation, the environment, open space and land use. So it's got a number of different focus areas. And within the economic development focus area, we have an initiative that's based on developing a citywide beautification program. And the city is very interested in having that be a community-based program and looking at where the capacity is in the community, where the interest is from all the different organizations and stakeholders in the community to work together, collaborate to develop such a program, and what shape it takes and what it looks like and who's involved are all the things that the three of us, Megan and Randy and I, have, and along with some other stakeholders and partners, have been working on over the last 6 months or so. And so for the city, we see it very much as something that can help improve the quality of life for everyone in the city, not just people that live and work here, but folks that visit. And it's also something that can improve economic development in the city, improve tax base, a lot of benefits that come from beautification and urban greening efforts that we've seen in other communities and seen in our own community from efforts that have already happened. One of the most recent efforts that's gotten a lot of press was the beautification effort in the Arts District that happened along Broad Street. That was a partnership with the city and Lewis Ginner and Venture Richmond and Capital One and some other partners. And that was a wonderful project. That's a great example of what we're talking about here doing on a citywide basis. And so that's how the city got involved and why we're interested.
Well, that's wonderful. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. You can hear previous shows on our blog, inspireindeed.blogspot.com. Today we're talking with Randy Humphrey, Alicia Zatkoff, and Megan Goff about Beautiful RVA. What's the Beautiful RVA website where our listeners can get more details?
Oh, stay tuned, because we're planning to roll out a new website. But right now you can find out information about upcoming meetings by going to lewisginner.org.
Fantastic. Tell us about some of the other organizations that are involved in Beautiful RVA.
Well, oftentimes it depends on the topic at hand when we've planned a meeting. Meetings are happening on average every other month. So depending on the topic, you know, you attract certain groups and certain organizations. But some of those that are probably recognizable to many would be Venture Richmond, Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay, the James River Association, a newer emerging organization called Groundwork RVA, the N. Richmond Foundation, which represents so many of the Friends of Parks groups, the Partnership for Smarter Growth. The list just goes on and on and on. Many of the departments of the city that have an interest in this subject, local universities, the University of Richmond and VCU, have certainly been well represented. We hosted a tree summit back in the fall, and that was organized by Richmond Tree Stewards, Capital Trees, Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay, the Division of Urban Forestry, and we had a representative from Virginia State University at that meeting. I think that when you kind of course through the list of individuals, we really do have some 40 to 50 different organizations represented.
Oh, that's great. If you could, tell us about some of the programs of Beautiful RVA, what you've done, what you have coming up.
Thank you. I'll take a stab at that, but I want my colleagues to jump in. Over the course of the last year, we had opportunities that kind of just naturally, organically bubbled up. It was shortly after the meetings in January and February that I learned that the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts had commissioned a study by the Project for Public Spaces firm out of New York City to provide a conceptual plan for the outdoor campus at the significant corner of Grove Avenue and the Boulevard. And so we hosted a report out by Elena Madison, who was the lead consultant on that particular study. A lot of times it's information sharing about projects that might be underappreciated or little known. So that was an example, and Elena and the VMFA actually used that as an opportunity to work with representatives from Beautiful RVA organizations to get feedback, to get kind of immediate reactions from the guest experts in the room on different elements of that plan that the VMFA has under consideration. We did an interesting meeting in May that was in conjunction with the Virginia Capital Trail Foundation's completion of the project to Great Shiplock Park. And we also began thinking about Richmond 2015 and the impact of neighborhood grassroots efforts around beautification to make sure that our city looks its best by September of 2015, when we'll be hosting so many people here. In the summer, in July, we convened a group of partners who have an interest in tourism and building more attractions and reasons for people to come to Richmond. And the idea of garden tourism. We have so many outdoor venues and beautiful places in our region that we began to discuss the possibility of Richmond's Garden Trail, and that actually will be launched later on this spring through an initiative that the Garden has led. We were lucky for that particular meeting to have a guest expert from Connecticut State University who has authored a book on garden tourism and provided a lot of data on how gardens and outdoor venues really help to build tourism. As I mentioned, we did a tree summit in the fall. That was an interesting experience. We hosted the event, but it was really organized by six different organizations that regard themselves as tree-centric, really care deeply about the tree canopy in Richmond, led by Capital Trees, which is a wonderful organization born out of the Garden Club of Virginia. And the Richmond Tree Stewards just invested a lot of time in organizing that. For the first time, to their knowledge and ours, it was the first time that all of the tree-centric organizations had been in the same room together. So they had an opportunity to talk about their common interests and common ground, and also what their individual assets are and what they bring to any collaborative discussion.
Tell us about some of your one of your upcoming events.
Well, we had a meeting in November, which was about the idea of the community-wide beautification program. And the meeting that's coming up in just 2 days, on February 20th, will be the second stage of that discussion. So why don't you all chime in now, Alicia and Megan. Let's talk a little bit about the design of a community-wide beautification effort, because that's what we're really currently investing a lot of our time in. Megan, do you want to lead off?
I think it might be interesting to talk a little bit about the meeting we had in the fall and where a lot of these ideas were generated. So we had about 60 or more organizations, neighborhoods, individuals represented at that meeting. And the goal of it was to brainstorm what would a community-based beautification effort look like for the city of Richmond. And it was a very useful discussion, because a lot of these groups had been and continue to do efforts on their own, but they were really looking for some of that the network connections that we were talking about. And you know, what we came away with was that there has to be some sort of hub of information where and communication where citizen activists, well-established organizations can all see each other and know the efforts that are going on in different places. And so one of the recommendations was the development of some sort of asset map that could identify efforts, beautification efforts that have already been done, those that are ongoing, and creates really a vehicle to locate those places for volunteers that might be interested in doing this, and recognizing that all of these small pieces and small efforts work together to create a more livable city. And we found that there's an extreme amount of energy and enthusiasm around this issue. And what we're hoping that Beautiful RVA can do is help harness that and make connections between these groups that can really build capacity if they're brought together towards a common goal.
And so the meeting that we're having in a couple days is to build on what we talked about a few months ago and to continue moving forward on this concept of a community-wide beautification program and community-based, and what are the tools and resources that we already have, that already exist, and how do we pull those together and build on those to enable the organizations and the neighborhood associations and the companies and people and everybody that wants to do beautification to actually be able to do more of that, to do it more efficiently, to break down the barriers that do exist, to make the processes easier, to identify the processes for those that aren't aware of them. And so really to basically create and enable folks to do more of this. And because one of the biggest things that we found as a benefit from Beautiful RVA and through the network that's in the collaboration that's been created is the ripple effect that it has when people find out that other people are doing these beautification projects. I think that it encourages and enables others to get involved, and folks that might have sat on the sidelines otherwise and said, this is too much for me, I can't do this, or what impact will this have? This is just a little garden, it's not going to make much of a difference. But when people see the little projects put together and how much of an impact that does have, and that goes back to the mapping that Megan was talking about, then they realize it really does have an impact, an aggregate impact, and that they're what might have seemed like a little project really does contribute in the whole to making our city a better place. And that's what we're all about wanting to do, is to communicate that and have everybody be a part of that.
Now, it sounds like there's a lot of great momentum behind this. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR-LP 97.3 FM. Today we're talking with Randy Humphrey, Alicia Zatkoff, and Megan Goff about Beautiful RVA. How can listeners get involved in Beautiful RVA?
Well, it's a great question, because it started out as just an email list, you know, of the design experts in town and interested parties. As time has gone on and the newsletter's gone out, I've invited people to just simply bounce the newsletter out to whomever they like. You know, there's nothing proprietary about it. Just share it with anyone you think might have an interest. And then I've been receiving email messages and phone calls at Lewis Skinner Botanical Garden about, you know, add me to the list, how can I come to your next meeting? And so I'm happy to receive those inquiries. In fact, the meeting on Thursday, just in 2 days, is going to be at Lewis Skinner Botanical Garden from 5 to 7 p.m. And honestly, any listener out there who's interested in jumping on board and participating in the meeting that we're planning for Thursday night should just plan to come. They're welcome to contact me at randyh@lewisskinner.org, but it's perfectly fine to just join us on Thursday evening at 5 p.m.
That's great. No RSVP needed.
Not necessarily, no. There'll be plenty of room.
Okay, great. Where do you hope that Beautiful RVA is in 10 years?
You know, I think we're really at a very interesting point in our city. I've been a resident of the city now for almost 30 years, and I love the fact that we were talking a little bit earlier about the idea of mashups and co-creating. I think there's just tremendous energy in our community right now. We seem to be at an interesting tipping point, you know, where there's so much pride, there's so much creativity, there's so much energy for change, positive change. And I hope that the garden can continue to play its natural role as a convener. But what I think we have recognized through the processes that we've kind of have been born out of this last year is that there are so many assets. We don't need to invent anything new. We just need to find better ways of doing what everyone's doing already and find where there is common ground and opportunities to share our assets and share our expertise, and where there are calls to action, expanding those calls to action to, you know, the seemingly unstoppable pool of volunteer help. I mean, it's whether it's individuals who are interested or corporations and neighborhoods, there just seems to be limitless opportunity out there. So if we can harness that, I just think that there are abundant opportunities. And I certainly want Lewis Skinner Botanical Garden to continue to play an effective and influential role in that. We have heard, you know, within our team at the garden that this is sort of a new paradigm in public gardens, that we're not sure that anything like this exists anywhere else in the country, that there would be this sort of virtual community that becomes really tangible in the activities that, you know, happen as a result of a greater sense of community and broader communication. So that's my own perspective on it.
This is Megan. I'll just add that when I imagine what Beautiful RVA might be, I think about the work that my program does in urban planning at BCU, and our goal is to make communities better and work with the people that live there to help make those places better. And so I think about Beautiful RVA as an extension of that. And what excites me is the thought that my students, the community members that I interact with a lot, the organizations around Richmond can be part of this and see it as relevant to them. So knowing that it's not, you don't have to be an expert, a master gardener to participate in this. What you need is interest, energy, kind of passion for this idea of using beautification to increase pride in the community and to activate others that might not see it as relevant to them. And so I'm excited about Beautiful RVA helping to facilitate that more widely and to really serve as a hub of that discussion and of interested people in helping to proliferate that around the city.
Well, thank you, Randy, Alicia, and Megan. I'm thrilled that you've been able to join us today, and I'm thrilled that all of you tuning in today have been able to join us too. Also, a big thank you to our fellow volunteers here at WRIRLP, including Andrew Hawes and Jay Westerman, who help out on the technical side of getting the show on the air, and Brittany Tracy, who makes sure that we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And Jesse Johnson, whom you'll find down here managing the soundboard. If you want to learn more about how you can join our team or donate to the station, go to WRIR.org. We count on your support to keep this local voice on the airwaves. My name is Alan Hudson, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed.